is Paul Greatrix, and whilst on this podcast you'll usually find me in conversation with registrars and other higher education notables, I've got some other diversions to share. There'll be some new podcasts along soon, but in the meantime I wanted to provide a bit of bonus content. In this short registrarologue then, you can hear me going on a bit about some of the challenges dealing with freedom of information requests in universities. But I also thought I would share with you some FOI examples which highlight the concerns I've got with the operation of the legislation in higher education. Too much information. The Freedom of Information Act was introduced back in 2000 and was primarily intended to provide openness and transparency in the workings of government and public bodies, including universities. Whilst the approach is in principle, a laudable one, the impact on higher education has been significant. There are undoubtedly different views in the sector as to the value of FOI. Some are enthusiasts, seeing it as a vehicle for exposing excess, misdeeds, and the shadier practices of universities to public scrutiny. Others like me, and I'm very much in a minority, it has to be said, inside university administration, view it rather differently. Universities do take their responsibility to provide information to students and the public very seriously. They're subject to numerous regulatory requirements on information reporting, including financial health reporting, publication of data on student satisfaction and graduate employment, and also publication of information on courses and much more. The additional responsibilities created by FOI arguably represent an unnecessary additional burden and costs the sector tens of millions of pounds in administrative effort each year. It's not just the costs, though, but the subject of some of these which makes you question the benefits of this particular piece of legislation. I think a few examples of what I'm talking about would help here. So, here's some FOI requests we've received over the years. How many portraits of members of the British royal family do you have on display on the university campus? How many, if any, portraits of members of the British royal family do you have in storage or in archive facilities? Can you tell me the statistics on greyhounds used by the university for research? What about arboriculture or tree surgery contracts and expenditure? In the last calendar year, how many times did you have to call out a plumber who was not employed directly by the university for an emergency call? In relation to human bodies used in dissection tutorials for medicine students, where does the department get the bodies from and the number of bodies used in the last 3 years? Over five calendar years, the number of staff and students with access to printing services, the number of A4 sheets printed by staff and students, and the amount spent on A4 printer paper. The last time the university publicly tendered for graduation gown and photography supplier contracts, and when the next public tender is scheduled to take place. Drug experiment spending. Over the last 3 years, the university spent on cocaine, MDMA / ecstasy, LSD, ketamine and cannabis, broken down by substance. Statistics for disciplinary actions taken against students. The cost of installing the outdoor chess set, when it was finished, how many chess pieces have gone missing, and the cost of replacing those pieces. You get the idea. Tony Blair, reflecting back in 2010 on his government's introduction of the Freedom of Information Act, regarded it as a particularly unwise step, and himself as idiotic for pushing it. He said, "You idiot. You naive, foolish, irresponsible nincompoop. There's really no description of stupidity, no matter how vivid, that is adequate. I quake at the imbecility of it." So, few regrets. These are the words that the former PM addressed to himself in his memoirs, and moreover, he claims that FOI is not used for the most part by the people, but by journalists. His view is that for political leaders, it's like saying to someone who's hitting you over the head with a stick, "Hey, try this instead," and handing them a mallet. It doesn't feel wholly dissimilar in universities, and the number of FOI requests continues to grow. Is it worth it? I'm dubious. Essentially, we spend a great deal of time and effort and public money responding to this stuff, and I struggle to see the benefit for anyone, including the requesters. This is perfectly exemplified by this story from a few years ago on the BBC about Leicester City Council, where a worried member of the public forced the council to admit it is unprepared for a zombie invasion. The council received an FOI which suggested its provisions for dealing with a zombie attack, as often portrayed in horror movies, were inadequate. And this highlights one of the fundamental problems with FOI. There is no sanity test. The City Council had to respond to this one as if it were any other normal FOI request, regardless of the waste of public money in so doing. So here's a few more of the interesting FOI requests. Could you please give me a list of all busts, statues and artwork that have been removed by your university since January 2020? Can you give me a list of the 500 most visited websites? Any information on any agreements the university has with the Ghana School of Law? The number of complaints we've received from staff, students or visitors about haunted buildings, ghosts or other paranormal phenomena on our premises in the last 10 years. What action was taken in response and how much did the action cost? How many requests for filming has your university had in the past 5 years? Over 2 years, the amount spent on the eradication of vermin within the university, plus the spend month on month. Whether the university has investments in cryptocurrency, and if so, details of the last 3 years. The number of condoms and tea bags distributed to students during Freshers' Week and the cost. The university's youngest Pro Vice Chancellor. It's just what you need, isn't it? Whilst my university never received anything quite so off the wall as a zombie attack, FOI, we did get a few surprising ones. Each year, for the last 4 years, the number of books reported missing, the policy for missing books, the subject of missing books, the amount received each year, the number replaced, where the money comes from replacements, and the cost on the most expensive book which needs replacing from the library. A list of undergraduate and taught postgraduate modules which include or reference perfectionism. In the last 5 years, the records of lost and damaged artwork. The total number of FOI requests we've had over the past 5 years. That one made me laugh. A list of banks and amount of cash in each bank, plus the bank branches and the cash machines on university premises. That one sounds entirely innocent. The chaplaincy, the denomination financial contribution by the university and the space occupied. Copies of the university's strategic flood risk assessment, local flood risk management strategy, critical drainage area report, post-flood investigations report and surface water management plan. Details on the volume of food waste, the cost of food procured and what happens to the food waste. Universities up and down the country get the same kind of stuff on an almost daily basis, requiring staff in all parts of the institution to waste their time searching for documentation to satisfy the requirements of the Act. Often the request is from a lazy journalist, a conspiracy theorist, a person with a grievance, or someone just seeking information for commercial gain. An FOI is often now the first recourse for individuals undertaking what they erroneously describe as research into some aspect of university operations. And indeed, they're often from within university, so it's a bit like the sector finding our own mallets. And also those who want to prove some wrongdoing by the university. It's become a route one for PR firms looking for tasty tidbits to provide particular HE-related activity or stories. But often it's simply about admissions numbers to medicine, financial statistics about staff expenses or library fines or a photocopying contract. But no matter how silly or pointless such requests may be, we have to treat them all equally seriously. And dealing with FOI has become a small industry in universities, and it does represent a costly distraction for many from the primary activities of education and research. And while universities, staffed as we are by good law-abiding citizens, do our very best to follow the rules and reply in the required time to FOI requests, it does seem that government now is less inclined to stick with the spirit or indeed the letter of the law in those really difficult or inconvenient cases, as far as its own operations are concerned. And this feels somewhat galling. So a few final examples of some of those rather surprising FOI requests. The number of ice cleats brought over 3 years and the number of accidents due to icy or snowy conditions. The number of times named pornographic websites have been accessed. Information on drug testing of students before exams. Request for confirmation that the Janoggoli library is sinking. Just for information, it wasn't and isn't. Summary of the university's position on Freemasonry among its students and staff. The spend last year on biscuits, Prosecco, wine and sweets. The number of books loaned over 10 years where the title contains the word geometry or geometric, and the percentage of students from each school that have loaned a book where the title contains these words. The money spent by the university on Christmas trees, decorations and parties. Information relating to students and caffeinated beverages. The number of examination scripts lost over 5 years, plus the resolutions and compensation. The number of Nottingham Forest tickets the university receives and how they're allocated. Pet therapy sessions, the types of animals used and how long students have access to them. All the big issues, I'm sure you'll agree. FOI remains, and whatever we think of the value of it, I do want to express thanks to all of those working in this area for their tireless efforts in meeting the demands of this enlightened piece of legislation, which is in no way a distraction from the core business of higher education. Finally, an FOI from a few years ago is possibly my personal favourite ever and is the only example we've identified here which indicates that FOI might perhaps have some merit. Without FOI, my university would never have been asked how many chocolate bars we sold last term. No one would ever thought of the importance of this data to the management and effectiveness of the nation's universities, and we would have all been poorer for the lack of it. Whilst it's not quite enough to convert me into a massive FOI fan, I could not be happier that this FOI request has delivered us an outstanding university league table. Anyway, the top three chocolate bars were Twix, followed by Kit Kat, and then Snickers. Who would have thought it? This is what Tony Blair would have wanted in introducing the FOI Act, if only he'd realised it. That was the latest registrarologue then. I do hope you enjoyed that wee bit of bonus content. There are others available here too, and plenty more podcasts in the back catalogue and on the way in future. Thank you for listening.